Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Put a marker there. Actually, no, just stay there. Keep 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'll read some other verses, but I want you to really have this marked in your Bible so you come back to this thing. City. Anyway, we'll have that. Of course, they're changing all the time. No, like the Lord is moving in our city unlike any time I've ever seen. We planted the church in 2007. For the first year, we lived over by Smithson Valley High School and made that drive. But I'm telling you, in the last 13 now, going on, it'll be 14 years in May that we planted the church. I've never seen him move in this region the way that I see him moving today. And it goes back to that word I gave you during worship, is that the Lord of hosts has walked onto the battlefield. Like, the Lord of hosts is here, the one who sets everything in motion, the one that creates everything that's right and puts things, like, he's like, all right, there's been a season where I've allowed you guys to kind of have your way, right? And there's those times, like, the will of the Lord is like, hey, I'm going to let you choose, your powerful people choose it, and you're going to kind of walk that stuff out. And it seems like, it feels like, well, why is the Lord letting evil succeed? Or why is the Lord letting kind of this thing happen in the world? And then there's those moments where he walks on and you know, like, whoa, something changed. We're in one of those moments. It's the Kairos moments, the Kairos seizing. And we use a lot of churchy language sometimes because, and I say it's part of the Bible, but if we were trying to translate it to the world out there, it would sound kind of weird. Because it's kind of our own lexicon, our own language. But I don't have any other word for it other than the harvest is here. Like, you know, in Jesus' day, they were a very agrarian society, which means the economy was built on the fact of crops being sown and sold and just utilized. That's what that was. Even in the early parts of this nation, that there's a big part of using the land and being able to sow seed and knowing how to go through these seasons of when you plant the seed, then how do I tend to the soil and how do I make sure it's got water and I tend to it and then that plant begins to break out. See, the Lord works like a farmer. This is the way he looks at it. And he's been growing something, I believe, in this region, and I believe in what he's been doing across the nation, U.S., and across the world. But specifically, I felt like I had a vision this last week where the Lord is saying, I have a heart for the nations. But right now, my eye is on America because America has sown for years into the work of the gospel across the planet. And what ended up happening is many of our friends who are missionaries, who have given their life to preach the gospel, whether it's in the Middle East or India, Brazil, different places, Bulgaria. We met some new friends this last week who are from Bulgaria. And because of what happened with COVID, a lot of this has settled down. I'm thinking about a brother who's from Israel. And he's brought them to America, and without a without exception of one person, every one of these that were foreign-born missionaries in their own nation now are suddenly find themselves here in the United States. And everyone says this, it's such an honor to be here because we've been living out of the harvest of America for a long time. And the Lord's moved us here because on his heart is to see America saved. Like what's been poured out, and our nation needs it. There's no political that transforms. There is no movie that's going to come out and all of a sudden capture the hearts and minds of everybody, and that's what's going to change. No. It's only the preaching and the demonstration, the revelation of the image of Jesus on the planet that brings the glory that God wants to bring. And so he's been shaping our hearts and our minds. He's been touching people, and he's calling you now. You might have felt it. You might not have felt it at all. But I'm telling you, if you will just tune your senses to say, God, what are you doing right now? His eyes are on you specifically, and here's why. He wants you to know that you were saved, not for you, but for his glory. We were with Dan Muller yesterday, and we've had Dan in, it was 2016 when we had Dan in the first time. And Dan preaches this gospel of understanding your identity better than anybody I've ever heard. It's such a level of clarity. And he kept saying it this weekend, and it's spot on. You weren't saved for you. You weren't saved for blessings. You weren't saved for inheritance. You weren't saved for any of those things. You weren't saved just to be healed. You were saved for him. All those things are a benefit of what comes by being connected with him. But when we lower the gospel to a bless me gospel, then we actually have nothing to give away. Because our motivations then for sharing the gospel get distorted. Why? Because if the gospel is all about me and mine, why would I ever give it away? Or what I'm giving people is saying, if you want to be blessed like me, and we start getting this thing of comparison, I've never been sick, and you're sick right now. How about you get the gospel so you can never be sick like me? You hear what it is? It's all about me. Instead, wait a minute, no. I was lost, I was dead, I was without hope, and Jesus the man came, and he saved me, and he transformed me. Man, I was created for his image. Come to know who you are in him. Come to know what the gospel is. It's the image of God being born out in the earth. You were predestined. Listen to what it says here in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me hear you say the will of God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit that knows the will of God. That's the Holy Spirit, and that's why we've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit, because he knows the will of God. And we know that all things work out together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let me hear you say purpose. See, we've made purpose about my ministry assignment. We've made purpose about where I live. I was born in America, so my purpose must have been to be born in America and to be blessed. No, you were born in America for a different purpose. But the purpose that he came for you is different than what you do. It's about what you receive. And look what it says this. For whom he foreknew, this is talking about the Father, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Dan started preaching yesterday, and I just started laughing because I've had this thing ready for 2 weeks. I'm starting a supernatural series, and I'm just like, yeah, come on, God, just confirm the word. We were predestined. Your destiny, let me hear you say, my destiny. My destiny is to be in his image. It changes it, doesn't it? It changes the conversation to, bless me, Lord. Let this bad stuff stop happening to me, Lord. God, get me out of this wicked generation, Lord. Like it's like me. Rescue. And he's going, wait a minute. No, my image is what transforms the earth. If you only knew, he told the woman at the well, if you only knew who I am, you would just ask me, and rivers of living water would rise up. And then what happens? She just has this powerful encounter with Jesus. All of a sudden, she sees the image of him for who he really is, and she begins to see herself differently according to the image she began to behold. The woman who had to go at noon, at the hardest part of the day, to the well because she was known to sleep around. She had the reputation. She couldn't go to the well in the cool of the day because the other women are going like, there's that chick, man. You know, she probably slept with one of their husbands. Come on. But Jesus didn't judge her according to that. He looks at her and says, if you only knew who I am, the image that you see would transform you. And so in a moment, she has this encounter, and the image of him transforms the image she has in her own mind of who she is. And she runs to the people that she was afraid to be around because they would judge and condemn her, and says, come see the man. Come meet him. Don't just hear about him. Come see him with your eyes. I've seen God with my eyes. Come see the image of the one that knows everything about me and was not ashamed of me. Instead, come see the image of the man, and I finally discovered who I am. Come meet him. And what happens? They come. And they have this encounter with Jesus. And then there's this moment where they go, we began to kind of believe when we heard your testimony, because we knew, we saw the change. They saw the tangible shift in the image change in him, in her. Like, this is not the same woman that's been sleeping around. No, this is not, something's different. And they came because of that, but they said this, but we now believe because we've seen him. The world needs to see Jesus. not a religious Jesus, not a hippie Jesus. They need to see the Jesus that we know him to be, the one that transforms, the living word, the word that became flesh. Like, he's everything that the Father wanted to say about himself. And he says this, if you're born again in me, you'll be the firstborn among many new brethren, which means you're made in his image and you reproduce according to his image. Which means you are called to be everything the Father wants to say about himself. That's why we can't be saved for ourselves. That's why we can't be saved to escape hell. I mean, that's a benefit. But geez, man, like I think praying the prayer of salvation just can you escape from hell is still going to let you live in hell on earth, because you're never going to discover why you were made. Every experience on the earth is going to feel like hell because you never realize you were born again into the image of him who never will experience hell again. He went to hell and took the keys and said, I'll take these back. Death, your time is over. Now it's according to me now. People related to God according to Adam in death before. And he says, now is the time that people will have the opportunity to relate to me according to my image, not their old self. See, we're called to move from glory to glory. We're called to move into this place where God does something greater. Look what it says in verse 30. Or let me read verse 29 again. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Family. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he justified. And who he justified, these he also glorified. Let me hear you say glorified. Well, I can't touch the glory of the Lord. Well, what if you were supposed to become the glory of the Lord? I can hear see the heresy hunters right now going. Does it make you God? But if you're transformed into his glorious image, you're called to be an image bearer of the one that you behold, and God is all glorious. When people see you, they shouldn't see you, they should see him and give glory to him because they see you and see him through you. What did he tell the disciples during the Last Supper? They're going like, where are you going? It's better that I leave you. Well, but where are you going? And then one of them says, show us the Father. He says, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? What is that, the image? And we're not talking, why was God so against false images and idols? Because as humanity, we're always looking for things to elevate higher than he is, but we were made to worship an image. So what does the devil do? He counterfeits image. Come on. Why do you think he goes into style and try to get all our girls to think that you either have to be skinny as a beanpole and starve yourself, and that's the image of success? Or guys, you need to be super duper buff, or you need to be doing this thing, and you need to be successful, and you need to be driving the Benz. You need to be like, because that's the image of success. Why? Because the devil knows that we were made to be image bearers, and you become what you behold. Your identity is tied in to the image that you hold the highest. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding, what's beholding? It's an old way. I'm looking at him, right? Beholding as in a mirror the glory, let me hear you say the glory, of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from what? Glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're called to be transformed into an image from glory to glory. And especially in the charismatic circles we've taken, we're supposed to go to glory, brother. It'll be hell in the hallway, but glory to glory. It was never about to be your circumstances. It was never about the hallway you're walking in. It was never about the world you're walking in. It was all about the one you behold, and that's what takes you from glory to glory. So if it's been hell, it's time to get your eyes on him. beholding him, the image of him, who he is, who he really is, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, stripping aside everything that would hinder us from becoming the image, embracing the image. God wants to take you from glory to glory, but it's hard to move from glory to glory if what you started with was a counterfeit image. Because all you can move into is a greater counterfeit. The more money you make, you're like, all right, that's a success. And what happens? You get in that rat race. I'm making the money, and I reach this pinnacle that I thought was going to let me feel like I have arrived. And then I get there, and I go, I'm so empty. So what do I got to do? I got to keep going from glory to glory, the glory of this image of success and prosperity. I'm going there. I'm striving. And I get to the end of the road, and I realize it's all empty. It was an empty image. But when I realize my need for him, when I realize that there's only one that could ever tell me who I am, whose I am, then in that place, I can move from glory to glory because I'm actually starting with glory itself. I'm concerned that what's happened in our church, and what I'm saying is I see in our culture and what's happened. Hear me this. I love that last song. I didn't know I had a friend like him. Well, why would that be? Because I didn't have the image of him. If I started off with an angry God, an angry dad, an angry, or I start off with, look how bad I am, and oh God, but he can never. I start off with shame. Then I can never have a friend like him. Not that God doesn't want to be your friend, but you cannot have a revelation of the image of who he is as your friend. Why is there so much orphanhood in the world? Why is it that fathering is so important? Is because this is our relationship, and the devil knows that. And if he knows he can kill a generation that hasn't even been born yet by getting the fathers of that generation to believe they're less than who he is. And that the gospel was just to make them blessed or to get them out of hell. And that's orphan thinking. Survival of the fittest. I got to survive this planet, brother. I got to survive the judgments of the Lord on the planet. It's going, wait a minute, no. I was made for his pleasure. Those who don't know his image will. There is suffering. There is death. There is hell. You can't have the gospel without a hell. Because then what did he save you from? But it's not about what he saved you from. It's what he saved you into, the image of God. Come on. We have this focus of like, oh, get out of the flames, get out of the flames. No. Get into his arms. Get into his heart. Discover what you were made for. You have no idea how good he is. And he's calling us to move from glory to glory. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. I want you to pick up this word that's going to be used. We can now all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. In other words, when you come to meet Jesus, there is no barrier. What's the barrier? The barrier was sin before. The barrier was you being lost and dead and separated from him. That was the barrier. But because of Christ, that barrier has been removed. He did the work so you can enter in. Now that that barrier has been removed, look what it says. No veil. As we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus, we're being transfigured. Let me hear you say transfigured. Super churchy word, but it's not really. If you understand metamorphosis, all you know, scientists will understand this. So a butterfly is transfigured from a caterpillar into a butterfly. It's transfigured. It starts off as a caterpillar. It's transfigured. It's transformed. It's metamorphosized into a butterfly. It can't go back into being a caterpillar again. This is what it means to be born again. I can't go back to an old me because that dude died. But I can resurrect the image of him and live according to it. Not because it's my nature, but because I'm beholding an old image that should no longer have power and authority, but whatever you behold, you become. Say it with me, whatever I behold, I become. So get your eyes on him. Look what it says. We're being transfigured into his very image as we move from one another, one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You can't transfigure yourself. You can't transform yourself. This is why it requires nothing less than total surrender to Jesus. There is no other way. There's no self-help book. There's no New Age concept. There's nothing. It's you are Jesus or you're not. And I feel like we're talking about this harvest is ripe. That choice is becoming very, very clear. Like Jesus was not afraid to give people powerful choices and let them walk off because he honored their choice, but they made a choice. And what's that choice? Either he is the Christ or he's not. Either he is God or he's not. And I've encountered him. So all my chips are in him. All my life is in him. I'm following that image because I know it, but I made a choice. How about you? Every day, what do I do? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that? He is Christ. He is Lord. He is my good Father. He loves me. And I've been transformed by his image. And anytime I discover something inside of me that's a false image, struggling with an old sin, struggling with an old life pattern, here's a moment. That's not time for me to come into shame that says, oh, I should know better. Instead of going, wait a minute, no, I know him better. I'm just beholding the wrong image. So let me dump that to the side and go, but God, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You are good and you transform me. I know the day I was born again. Nobody, the devil, no circumstance can take that away from me. I was transformed for his glory. And now here's the beauty. And now I'm being transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. That's the inheritance of the saints. If we're going to do revival, awakening, the harvest, sharing the gospel, let's make sure the gospel that we're sharing is, you better turn or burn. How many people know that works to a certain extent? But then you're just putting people into bondage. Every single day, I've got to work for his affection. I've got to work for his affection. Yes, I'm getting to heaven, but it's like it's escaping through the flames. Because every single day I live this life depressed, dark, sad, mad. I don't know what I'm doing. Because you don't know him. What if the gospel we preach is this? Yes, there's a real hell. And you were never destined for that. But choose today the image of the living God. Choose the salvation that he offers to you today. Choose the glory of coming into a right relationship where you discover your purpose to be made in the image of God. How many people know that Michelangelo's statues or paintings never had to work really hard to be what he created? They were just painted. They were just chipped away. They didn't have, it wasn't self-effort into it. They were the creator's creation. And now we can behold these beautiful artworks and go, man, I see what was in the heart of that artist. This is the gospel we're going. Like, people are, what am I? Who am I? What's my gender? What's my sexuality? Why? Because the church lost sight of the image of God, and the gospel we began to preach was more about avoiding hell and more about condemnation than it was. You've got to know him. That's not who you are. Now, before the heresy hunters get after me, do they have to accept him as Lord? Yes. What if they don't? Hell's going to be hot. It's going to be sad. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a horrendous place. Did God send them there? No. He honored a choice of the image they sought after. See, FTC is preaching the gospel that the moment they're born again, all that shame, all that guilt, all that sin, and you realize it died with Christ on the cross. And in its place is resurrected his image. And now we're looking to him and going, man, do you know what a glorious image you carry? That our messages come into your purpose, come into your life. Read the scriptures. Why? Because you're going to discover the image that you're meant to be, beholding him as you read through this. Because these things, from cover to cover, reveal him. What do I worship? Because I'm in the image of him. Not because I'm trying to get free from something. Not because I'm trying to get avoid a dark world. Not because I've got this really bad circumstance, and if I don't get in there, it might not ever change. No, I come to worship him because that's where my life is at. That's my image, and he's worthy to be worshiped. And in the process of taking my eyes off things that were never meant to be my image, and I behold him, guess what? These things are transformed. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? Seek first the king and his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And it says, seek the king and his kingdom and his righteousness. What's righteousness? He made you right with himself. But if you seek after the king without seeking the fact that he made you right with him, then you're going to have a religious gospel that will beat your brain in every single day. Why did this happen, God? Why did somebody die? Why did you allow Corona to happen? Why did you let this political thing happen? Why? And the Lord's going, you're asking the wrong question. You know what the question is? Who are you? I think I've got an image, but I can only see dimly right now, Father. Take me from glory to glory to glory. You know what it does? It allows you to see him more and more and more and more. And then you discover who you are more and more and more and more. Now all of a sudden the people that used to drive you batty stop driving you batty. Why? Because you see them for who he wants them to be, and there's this thing goes, a compassion on them. Like if they only knew him, they wouldn't treat me like that. But I don't need them to treat me right anymore because he made me right. He treats me right. So I'm no longer dependent upon human relationships to get my validation. Come on, this is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what we're preaching. This is what we're empowering you for. Do you understand that if you took everything supernatural out of here, you would have nothing left? He's a supernatural God. He supersedes the natural realm. He supersedes you. He supersedes my mind, my will, my emotions. And so I'm surrendering it for his mind, his will, his emotions. This is the gospel. For those that you've been just really discouraged, I'm telling you right now, the Lord's going to help you to move from this place of discouragement and move you into a place of glory. Why? Your circumstance might not change, but your mindset and your image is going to change. And as you behold him, everything will change. See, Jesus related to the woman at the well as if she had never slept with anybody. Jesus related with the woman who was caught in adultery, brought before him and says, "Woman, where's your accusers?" Because he said, the first one without sin can cast a stone. Why? Because the justice requirement of the legal law was that she should be stoned. But it could only be stoned by a perfect, holy person. And that's when he said, if you don't have any accusers, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. What was he telling her? You've seen the image of mercy itself. You've seen the image of the one that made you. Don't have biblical evidence of this, but we do know what John says, that if everything he did was written down, there wouldn't be enough room in any book in the universe. I just know the way I was transformed. I guarantee you that woman comes back and finds him after the resurrection. It's like, I'm no longer the woman caught in adultery. I'm the one caught in love with him. He so loved me that he didn't judge me, but he gave me an opportunity for transformation, transfigured. Look what it says. This word transfigured is important. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, let me get a thing of water here. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up high on a mountain by themselves. How many people know that Jesus plays favorites sometimes? Where are the other nine? He didn't say, hey guys, I'll be back for you later. You can have the same experience. No. He wanted to have a personal, close experience with them. And it was a teaching lesson, I believe, for the other nine, saying, can you receive the testimony of what they saw without you having to experience it yourself? When you see them come down transformed, can you be transformed by somebody else's testimony? But instead, what happens, we get offended by Jesus. Why'd you pick them? Why'd you promote them? Why'd you let them succeed? Why are you letting evil succeed? What's going on? What about me? And I come back, you weren't saved for you. You're saved for him. You're made in his image. So the guys never got offended, I don't think. Or maybe they did and he just dealt with it. But the whole point of this is he's taken only a handful of them up. So after 6 days, he took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up high on a mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Notice the image comes out of who he really was inside. That veil of his flesh is torn off, because how many people realize Jesus was 100% God, but he's also 100% man? And he left the glory of heaven to come and live as a man, surrendered to his Father underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we might actually have an example of what's possible. And in this moment, though, he says, I just want you to show who you're following. Look what it says. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. In other words, we're seeing an image. We see you, Jesus, but we also see this image and we see this image. Let's elevate and let's honor. Peter's heart was to honor the old covenant and the old prophets, as well as honor who he knew Jesus to be. But look what happens. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. I don't know, a bright cloud. Typically, when a cloud moves in, what happens? It gets darker. I don't know how a bright cloud overshadows them, but it's the Shekinah glory of him. When he hovers over you, it's bright. Right? And they're like, what's going on? A bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying this, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In other words, there's only one. You had the law, you had the prophets, but there's only one. Hear him. So look what it says. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, look what it says, they saw no one but Jesus alone. The image. So here's my question for you this morning. Not all our idolatry started with an evil heart. Didn't start just because we wanted to sin. But sometimes we made things idols because we haven't really gotten a glimpse of who he is. So my question would be is, what Elijah, what Moses, have you built a tabernacle for in your mind? What image are you honoring? Just as you're honoring Jesus, but you're also honoring other images. It's time to move from glory to glory. That's not all glory. That is going to distract you from glory. Remove those distractions. Strip it away. It might have been, I'm just hearing it right now, the Lord saying, you had an amazing family upbringing. And this, I'm not going to point you out, but it's just like there was this amazing family upbringing. And you've got this, what you felt that you've had to live up to, but because your family has this amazing name. And so many of the decisions you've made coming into adulthood and even a little bit beyond has been to honor your family name. That's amazing. Honor is worthy. But it's become this place inside of your heart where you go, I was made for something more. I was made for something different. And I don't know how to move from glory to glory. And I hear the Lord saying in this moment that he's releasing to you a blessing that's going to allow you to say, I honored my past and let it be there as I move into this place of saying, but there's only Jesus. I only see him. I don't see my father's calling. I don't see my mother's calling. I don't see my mom's inheritance. All I see is him. If that's you, you come up and tell me afterwards. But I know it clear as day. So what is it that we have allowed to become a Moses or Elijah? An old thing that has to pass away. It also can move into this place of offense. You don't know what they did to me. You know how they hurt me. You don't know what this happened to me. And I feel like the Lord's going, no, I do. The promise of Jesus was, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never give up on you. I know it. I was tempted in every way that you were tempted, and yet was without sin. I know it. And he's saying, are you willing to trust me that if you can lay offense and unforgiveness aside, instead you can just trust that I am good? Can you be transformed into that image? So we could go in 1,000 different directions with this. But I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts individually right now because he's wanting to take you from glory to glory. Your highest revelation of what you had. I know this. This is, you want to know how the Lord's been working in my heart these last couple weeks? Everything that I've experienced in him in these last 10, 12 years. We were first baptized in the Spirit in 2010. It's been sometimes a really rough ride. Sometimes it's been an amazing journey. But I've experienced crazy things in Jesus. I think I have a really good revelation of how good of a father he is. I think I got a really good revelation coming into sonship and the Lord saying, are you ready to move from glory to glory? Because you're camping out. You've made a tabernacle for your understanding of this, and it's keeping you from going to glory. Did that mean the glory left this place? No. You move from glory to glory. It's a brighter glory. And so what he's done here comes with me, but I no longer tabernacle there. I no longer worship there. I no longer go, this is the best I'm ever going to get. And I move in this place once again saying, Lord, here I am, send me. You'll do infinitely more than I can ask, think, or imagine. Lord, I want to move into that place. You said we would do greater things. I want to move into that place. So I'm positioning myself once again saying, God, I want to see you move in a way that I've never seen you move before. I want to see my city saved. I want to see signs, miracles, and wonders because that's what you always do when you show up. But I want to see it not according to an old way. What are you doing now? What are you doing now? I'm telling you what he's doing now. He's touching you. He's empowering the body of Christ in a way that I've never seen probably since the book of Acts. He wants to grab a hold of your heart. And what's going to allow you to step into that place is when you move from glory to glory. Leave the hell in the hallway for glory to glory to glory. Sometimes when we're going through hell and our eyes are on the hell, tough circumstances, what image am I beholding? How does that influence the way I think? How does the lens view? Well, maybe God's not as good as I thought. Maybe he forgot about me. What's going on? Because my eyes are on the hell. You're good. You're good. I use this a lot, but it's so pertinent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Told by Nebuchadnezzar, you worship my... Come on, y'all know it. What were they called to worship? The image. It was a statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the image of him. And they were being persecuted for not worshiping the image. We don't care about your God, you worship this one. And they go, sorry, our God will rescue us from that fire. And even if he doesn't, I will never worship another image. Because even if I die today, I've already won because I'm with him forever. I think, I'll be honest with you, I think part of what swelled up in their heart that day was compassion for Nebuchadnezzar. I don't think anger was in their heart that day. They're like, God, if you only knew him. How do I know this? Because Daniel has this encounter with Nebuchadnezzar, where Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord shows up to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm like, get this. Like, he only talks to the holy prophets. No, he's talking to the most wicked king of that time, Nebuchadnezzar, and says, and gives him dreams and says, dude, if you don't turn away and turn to me, it ain't going to be good for you. He's trying to win his heart. He brings this dream to Daniel, goes, I'm so disturbed by this dream. I don't know what it means. And Daniel becomes disturbed. This is the man that pulled his family into captivity. This is the man that slaughtered thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews when they took Jerusalem and they tore down the temple brick by brick. He destroyed everything that Judaism and the worship of God meant to them. And this man is saying, I just don't know what's happening. And he says, oh, but if this would be about your enemies. He'd fallen in love with Nebuchadnezzar. I wish this dream was about your enemies, but it's not. You're worshiping your own image, Nebuchadnezzar, and there's only room for one image to worship. Take this opportunity. Nebuchadnezzar walks away disturbed. And in that moment, he did not turn from his own image. He continued, and then all of a sudden, he became in the image of a cow, a wild beast in the field for a number of years. And what ends up happening, when he comes back to himself, he describes it in his own hands and saying, but I have seen him. Everything of wealth I've ever had has come from him. Everything of influence has come from him. All my authority came from him. Nebuchadnezzar has this transfiguration experience. And he comes back into his right mind, and from that day on, he worshiped Yahweh. Why? I think it's because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, teenage boys when they're brought in to captivity, lots of hell, did not get caught up in hell, but instead kept their eyes on him. And because of that, the image that they bore, and hear me on this, that's the old covenant. That was an inferior revelation of the Father, and that saved a man. Jesus says, look at John the Baptist. We're going to wrap up here in a second and pray for you. He says, look at John the Baptist. He's the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. Greater than Elijah. Greater than anyone you can think of. Greater than Daniel. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater. Why? Because at least the least in the kingdom has had an image of him and have been transformed into the image of him. What's the image you show this week? Is it Jesus? Now, don't hear me and go into, oh gosh, guilt, shame, condemnation. I'm not looking like Jesus. I'm starting to sound like Dan all of a sudden. I've been sitting in a seat for two, or just teaching. I mean, people know Dan Miller. It's like, ah! I think I'm picking up his anointing for a moment. If you haven't heard Dan Moeller, M-O-H-L-E-R, go look on YouTube. It's good stuff. Don't come into shame and guilt that says, oh, dang it, I haven't been performing the image of God really well. I've really sucked at it. All right, God, I've got to put on a mask to look like Jesus and mask the feelings I have inside so I can have an image that looks like that. Nuh-uh. It's not about you faking it till you make it. It's surrendering everything inside of you that is not according to his image. Every thought, every feeling, every belief system, every hurt, every pain, every offense, every good questioning thought. Like, how many people know, like, I just have, like, random questions. I wonder what. All that surrendered to him. And in this moment, I'm beholden to you. And that moves me from glory to glory. This isn't do more, try harder. This is let go and behold. There's no striving in the kingdom. There is effort, but there's no striving. What's striving? My own effort. My own, I'm going to do this. What's effort in the kingdom? Because he said, I obey. Because of who he is, I obey. That doesn't take a lot of self-effort. But I have to move forward. I have to start walking. Here I am, send me. Okay, go. There's the nations. Go to the ends of the earth. Go. Whoa, 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 whoa. Can we renegotiate this? No, you're going to be my witnesses. Go. Why don't you stand up with me? I just feel like the Lord wants to crush performance this morning. I feel like the Lord's going to give hell to hell. I feel like the Lord's going to take the orphanhood that's been rampant, and he's going to do what he did with the son Jesus. He's going to take you by the face and you go, you're my son. You're my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. You never have to perform for my affection or my pleasure. Just be transformed by it and live it out. So every head bowed, every eye closed. In this moment, Holy Spirit, pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, what have I made an image? Come on. What have I made an image? My highest priority. Reveal that to me now. As he's revealing it to you. Maybe more. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter if you have a laundry list of 1,000. Right where you're at. The invitation to you is now. Don't do it because you feel like you're supposed to. Do it because you're ready to live out of his image. I want you just in your mind's eye right now to take that image. And I want you to take it out from before you, and I want you to throw it on the ground and stomp on it. Break it up, destroy it, crush it into dust. If that was too religious for you, it's okay. Now I want you to do in your mind's eye, I want you to look up like Peter, James, and John did, and I want you to see only him. Jesus staring right at you. No shame in his eyes, no condemnation in his eyes, no I wish he would have done better in his eyes, but only love. Only confident expectation. Did you know that the Father has confident expectation and with the plans that he has for you? Lord, in this moment, we just look at you. We behold you. We make you the highest image. And I'm so glad we don't have a relationship just with an image, but a real living God. Come visit every person right now. For those who've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just call you Holy Spirit. Come and fill your people now. To those who've been filled once or many times, it's time from glory to glory. Fill them again, O God. Fill us again, O God. Lord, we turn our eyes to you. We behold you. You've predestined us to be in your image. Lord, we want to live according to your image. Thank you that you transform us. Thank you that you empower us. And Lord, thank you that you heal us right now. I just hear in my spirit, stay right where you're at. You don't have to raise your hand. Because it's not about exposing you, it's about exposing the thing. But some of you have been dealing with a long-term health issue. In the moment that you laid down image, and picked up his image, that thing began to disintegrate. Now, remember in the desert, Moses raised up this snake on a cross. This is why we had the Red Cross. The medical field. And those who looked at the image were healed. I just feel like the Lord's releasing healing in bodies right now, not by anybody praying for you, but by people coming into beholding the image of him. The eyes of love, your healer, setting people free right now. I just hear addictions right now. Some of you laid down addictions, and the question in your mind was, yeah, but is that hunger going to be there later? Did I just have an emotional experience? And my answer to you is no, it wasn't just an emotional experience. There might have been emotion because this is an emotional thing. But the moment you laid the image down of that addiction, it was crushed underneath your feet. And now you behold the one whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm just going to go for it because Dan did last night. I think it's a specific word of knowledge. Those who you carry things in your body because of consequences of bad choices early on in life. Again, you don't have to raise your hand, but whether it was a sexually transmitted disease, maybe it's hepatitis because you use needles. Some sort of thing that's like a lifelong diagnosis because of a moment where you weren't in him. And he's saying he no longer looks to you that way. He wants to bring healing to your body now in the name of Jesus. Because the image you behold, you become. Say it with me right now. The image I behold, Jesus Christ, I become. We just thank you, Father, that you're releasing healing and freedom right now. People even online are watching this that's touching you guys where you're at. So we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We celebrate you. Just give us joy as we behold you. And we declare it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen. Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.